Welcome everyone to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so happy you all are here. As always, let's begin our time together with a brief period of meditation. So just coming to a comfortable position. If you'd like, allowing your eyes to close. And taking a few deep breaths just to settle in. Trusting that your mind knows where to go. If it gets caught in surface level thought or any seeming distraction, just bringing attention back inwards. And just imagining yourself dropping down deep within your own mind. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind. These are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in. And releasing that breath. And slowly coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Thank you all for joining me in that silence. So this evening, we are reading part 13 in the Manual for Teachers, What is the Real Meaning of Sacrifice? We're on page 1608 in the Purple Book and page 33 in the Manual. I'm sorry, in the Manual, yeah, in the Blue Book. Page 33 in Foundation for Inner Peace in the Manual, page 1608 in the CE. And as always, we'll just take it one or two paragraphs at a time and we'll do some chatting. So here we go. What is the real meaning of sacrifice? Although in truth, the term sacrifice is altogether meaningless, it does have meaning in the world. Like all things in the world, its meaning is temporary, and will ultimately fade into the nothingness from which it came when there is no more use for it. Now its real meaning is a lesson. Like all lessons, it is an illusion. For in reality, there is nothing to learn. This illusion is a corrective device. Another illusion that replaces the first illusion, so both can finally disappear. The first illusion, which must be displaced before another thought system can take hold, is that it is a sacrifice to give up the things of this world. What could this be but an illusion, since this world itself is nothing more than that? So, in this first paragraph, what is the real meaning of sacrifice? Sacrifice is meaningless, but it does have meaning here in the world. But its meaning is temporary. And I love how it says it will ultimately fade into the nothingness from which it came when there's no more use for it. But it's a lesson right now. And this is just striking to me. Like all lessons, it is an illusion, for in reality, there's nothing to learn. But this illusion is a corrective device, another illusion that replaces the first, so both can disappear. I remember some time ago, it may have been the podcast on near-death experiences. I remember somebody reaching out to me and basically saying that, what are you doing as a Course in Miracles person talking about near-death experiences? Because that's part of the illusion too. And isn't it all? You know, any experiences of this world, we could argue, are, you know, in the illusion because the whole world is a dream. But to me, near-death experiences are a perfect example of what it's talking about here. A near-death experience, obviously something has to like seemingly get close to something called death in order for something to happen. It's part of an illusion for sure, but it's helpful in that it can serve to bring us peace if we're afraid of death. It can serve to give us confidence that there actually is something after this. To me, something like NDEs can be just a helpful corrective device in that it's an illusion, but it's replacing a more fearful illusion, like a fearful illusion of death. Well, now we're having an illusion of near-death experience. And that's actually helping to draw me, to draw one out of fear. So that came up for me when we were reading this middle of the paragraph. Ultimately, both will disappear because if, you know, a near-death experience is still part of the dream, ultimately, in truth, it has no meaning for sure, but it's a step. It's like a stepping stone. Dave, were you going to add something?
How did you know? I didn't even raise my hand, I don't think. But
I thought you came off mute, but maybe I was mistaken.
Well, no, I did. Actually, I was watching a few of those on YouTube recently, just because they helped me recognize that I'm not a body. And when you listen to people talk about their experience, they're very clear that they're not a body. And it helps to listen to somebody with conviction say that, you know.
Anyway. Absolutely. Oh, thank you for sharing that. I agree with you 100%. It helps hearing people who have had these experiences be able to speak from that experience, from that certainty, from that conviction, which serves to help us all. So thank you for adding that. Anybody else? Did I miss any other hands?
Yeah.
John, hi.
Yeah, this, you know, that really ties into today's lesson that I was doing, which is 269, that my sight goes forth to look upon Christ's face. But in the little prayer in the beginning, there's one line in there that says, I ask for the illusion which transcends all those I made. Mm. I was like, what? Why am I asking for an illusion to transcend all those I made? I'm replacing an illusion with another illusion. And I was like really confused what that line meant. So anyways, that's just what I wanted to throw in there. It's like,
Did you find clarity from this paragraph that we read? Like
with a little bit.
Because that's what I'm so glad that you brought that. That's such a relevant sentence, asking for an illusion what was it in replacement
for? Transcends.
Transcends all those I made. So yeah, perceptual, you know, experiences here, the experiences that we have in this level of form, in this level of perception, are all in a dream realm, but we're having experiences, you know, through the body that are showing us that this is a dream, that we are the dreamer of the dream, that we are not bodies, that this is not our home. So those are like illusions that transcend all the other illusions that we made, you know, those experiences, even, you know, oh, the Course has lines, and I'm not thinking of them specifically at the moment, but it says something about, I'm not grasping or I'm not remembering what it is, but just what you're saying, John, about like, you know, these experiences that we have that are still illusions, but it's like closer to a recognition of the truth. So those are like the helpful, you know, repurposed experiences, repurposed illusions in a sense that bring us closer to the, you know, ultimate reality, which we can barely have glimpses of here. Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, John. That was awesome.
Hi. I don't know if this is a Course, you know, statement or concept, but I've heard of the happy dream.
Yeah, that's a Course. Uh-huh.
Such that, you know, being a reflective universe and everything we project, you know, is, you know, or we see what we project and all this stuff. And if we're, you know, in the right mind, we're able to create this happy dream. And so with that, the way I see that, it just kind of, all the other dreams just kind of fade away, you know? I don't know if that's...
Absolutely. That happy dream. Yeah, absolutely. It's like the happy dream is like a stepping stone. Like it's still not the truth, but it's like getting us closer to the real world. The real world is getting us closer to heaven. So it's all, as we, you know, the more fear blocks we release, it's like the illusion sort of changes, but it becomes more and more transparent for us to ultimately, you know, not be afraid of God, of totally waking up. So it's like, that's the gentleness of the Course. That's the gradual sort of awakening process. So thank you for that connection, Steve. That was great. Anybody else? I want to make sure I'm not missing any hands. Okay. Let's read the next paragraph. It takes great learning both to realize and to accept the fact that the world has nothing to give. What can the sacrifice of nothing mean? It cannot mean that you have less because of it. There is no sacrifice in the world's terms that does not involve the body. Think a while about what the world calls sacrifice: power, fame, money, physical pleasure. Who is the hero to whom all these things belong? Could they mean anything except to a body? Yet a body cannot evaluate. By seeking after such things, the mind associates itself with the body, obscuring its identity and losing sight of what it really is. So when we seek after power, fame, money, physical pleasure, etc., whatever it may be, this is so powerful. The mind associates itself with the body and our identity is obscured. We lose sight of all that there is in, you know, pursuit of things that seem to make the body better in some way, to have some type of status or something or another. Now, that's the truth, as it's saying here. And at the same time, we have to remember that we are on a journey, we are learning, and we have to be where we are. So if we are feeling called to pursue something of the world, as long as we're talking to Holy Spirit, as long as we are giving it all over, repurposing whatever it is that we are, you know, seeking, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. We're going to have another opportunity to learn through whatever it is that we see, that we seem to be, you know, pursuing, that we are desiring to pursue. So this is where I have found it to be a gentle path, in that I'm not, what I've not done is read this and be like, okay, I shouldn't pursue money. So I'm going to just stop. Like, I'm going to stop working. I'm going to stop doing things where I'm like trying to force it basically, because I just read it in a book. Instead, my practice of the course, this is how it's looked for me, is that I'm going to do what feels right, what I feel inclined to do, because I'm recognizing that this is my learning curriculum. This is my classroom, but I'm still going to be giving it all to Holy Spirit. So I will learn that, you know, the pursuit of whatever it might be is not what is making me happy. It's not what is, you know, bringing peace. I will learn that through seeking those things. I mean, we're going to learn that no matter what, but I choose to bring the Holy Spirit with me on whatever journey it is. And at least in my experience, it's been maybe a little bit more gentle, perhaps. Any thoughts about that? Any comments or questions so far? So I just like throwing that in there too, because sometimes we think like, oh, should I not like desire things? And again, we have to be where we are and do what we feel inclined to do, but we can repurpose those things and bring them to the Holy Spirit instead of just pursuing them solo. And they can become our teachers. Teaching learning situations. Let's read paragraph number 3. I'm going to back up one sentence just for context. By seeking after such things, the mind associates itself with the body, obscuring its identity and losing sight of what it really is. And actually, it's funny that I just wanted to back up because I wanted to just comment on that sentence too. That's also so powerful that when we are seeking things of the world, it's solidifying our identity with the body. It's obscuring our identity and who we truly are. And we're losing sight of all that there is. So that's just a really powerful, I find that to be a very powerful sentence. Once this confusion has occurred, it becomes impossible for the mind to understand that all the quote pleasures of the world are nothing. But what a sacrifice, and it is sacrifice indeed, all this entails. Now has the mind condemned itself to seek without finding, to be forever dissatisfied and discontented, to know not what it really wants to find. Who can escape this self-condemnation? Only through God's word could this be possible. For self-condemnation is a decision about identity, and no one doubts what he believes he is. He can doubt all things, but never this. So once we've confused ourselves and once we are seeking things of the world and associating ourselves with the body, obscuring our own identity, it becomes impossible for us to understand that the pleasures, the quote, pleasures of the world are actually nothing. And we've condemned our minds to seek without finding. So the ego's motto is seek, but do not find. It's going to bring us on 1,000 journeys in pursuit of pleasure, of joy, of peace. And if there are things, you know, of the world, if it's anything other than God, it's not going to satisfy us. And that's the case, you know, across the board, because what we are looking for is God. We don't recognize that God is who we are looking for and who it is that we want, but that is who we are looking for. That's all it is that we actually really, really want. I feel inclined to keep reading, but I just want to pause here. Anybody have any comments or questions so far?
This is bringing up, you know, it's very hard not to buy into the world every day. It's right. It's an ongoing challenge. Placing your future in the hands of God, that's a workbook lesson. I place my future in the hands of God, just brings me so much peace. Because by doing that, knowing God's will for me is perfect happiness, abundance, joy, everything, I don't have to try and control the future. Feeling confident in trusting in God. So I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Thank you for that, Paula. That's such a beautiful lesson. I place the future in the hands of God. I love that. Thank you. Oh, anyone else want to add?
Sorry about the delay.
No problem.
I'm making enchiladas, so I was trying to hurry up and wash my hands so I could have unmute button on my phone. So I just wanted to like piggyback on what was that, Paula, because I wasn't looking at my phone.
Yes.
What she said, because I couldn't agree more. I mean, with my experience, I read this book years ago, like when everything shifted for me. What was it like? I don't know. It was like 2013 or 14, something like that. I read this book by Joel Goldsmith called Leave Your Nets. And, you know, that's a quote from Jesus, what he said to the fishermen, leave your nets and follow me. Mm-hmm. And so I read this book because I got fired from this job that I thought was the job of all jobs that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so I read this book and I didn't know where anything was going to come from. I had all this pressure built up by myself in my head about needing to have the perfect job, making the right amount of money, you know, having the right relationship, all of these things that I felt like I was striving to get from the world. And reading that book about surrendering and, you know, it's basically leave your nets means leave those pursuits and follow me. Mm-hmm. And that led me to start A Course in Miracles back then. Mm. And what I learned from that, and I was all in, because when I do something, I'm all in. And everything was taken care of for me by spirit, by God. I mean, just in the most amazing ways. And I won't go into all the miracles that happened, but and then I stopped chasing after relationships too, because I thought that was going to make me happy. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, you know, like happier than I've ever been, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not chasing those things and I hardly work and I make more money than I ever have in my entire life. And when I say I hardly work, I'm serious. I probably work like 20 hours a week and I get paid salary. And this is all because I surrendered mm-hmm. all of that. So I totally get what this part of the course, what it's saying, like not to chase after the worldly pursuits, because it's like you're a hamster on a hamster wheel. It's not ever going to be enough and it's not ever going to bring you happiness. It's when you surrender and follow God. And in my case, you know, that route was through Jesus and A Course in Miracles, that's when I finally got it, what life was about. So I just wanted to throw that in.
That's beautiful, Cheryl. Thank you so much for sharing that. You reminded me just with that title, Leave Your Nets. Has anybody seen the movie Faith Like Potatoes? It's called Faith Like Potatoes, and it's about, am I going to remember his name? He is a pastor in South Africa. I'm blanking on his name. There's a film about him. It's like not him acting. You know, they have actors and whatnot doing the whole story. My favorite part of the film are the bonus features after the film when you actually meet Angus Buchan, B-U-C-H-A-N, I think his name is. It just came back to me. Faith Like Potatoes, yep. I'm gonna just put a link in the chat. So his story, is that, and this again, I don't remember details. I've not watched the, I think, yeah, we've read a book many years ago, movie me. Okay, I'm just making sure I have the same length, the correct length. Sorry, everyone. This is a guess from his website. So it's a faith story. It's a story of him following God and following guidance. And Cheryl, what you just said about not chasing and instead surrendering and following God, the word listening to guidance also comes up, the phrase listening to guidance. And in this movie, this is essentially what Angus Buchan did. He listened to guidance and there was like a terrible drought. So potatoes, to grow potatoes, you need a lot of water and it has to be very particular conditions. His guidance was to grow potatoes. And everybody was like, are you crazy? What are you doing growing potatoes? We have this terrible drought. That's never going to work. And he's like, he was basically like, that's my guidance. And so they spent their money getting their seed potatoes and planting them in this super dry field. And they ended up with this amazing bumper crop for no, you know, explainable reason because of this intense drought. So that just came up, Cheryl, when you shared, you know, the Leave Your Nets. If anybody's looking for a good film, again, I loved the bonus features after the movie even more than the movie because you get to meet the real people behind the film. And it's just one of those super inspiring stories about surrendering and following God. So I had to add that, Cheryl, because what you just said really brought that forward for me.
I'm sorry, what's the name of the movie?
Faith Like Potatoes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Is it on like Netflix or what? Or do you,
I don't know. This is probably like back in the days of Blockbuster Video. So I don't know where it's available now, but
okay, I'll do a search.
Very good. All right. Let's. What's that?
Amazon listing it.
Amazon has it? Cool. Thanks, Pat. And Pam has it at her local library. Libraries are a great place to check for that film also. If anybody watches it, you're going to have to let me know. I'll have to rewatch it. Again, like I said, this is back in like Blockbuster Video days. So it's been a minute since I've seen it. Oh, okay. Let's read another paragraph. We're on paragraph number 4. God's teachers can have no regret on giving up the pleasures of the world. Is it a sacrifice to give up pain? Does an adult resent the giving up of children's toys? Does one whose vision has already glimpsed the face of Christ look back with longing on a slaughterhouse? No one who has escaped the world and all its ills looks back on it with condemnation. Yet he must rejoice that he is free of all the sacrifices which its values would demand of him. To them he sacrifices all his freedom. To them he sacrifices all his peace. And to possess them must he sacrifice his hope of heaven and a remembrance of his Father's love. Who, in his sane mind, chooses nothing as a substitute for everything. And if we can just feel into that last question for a moment, who in his sane mind chooses nothing as a substitute for everything? When we're choosing for the world, and again, we have to, that's why, you know, we came here on purpose. Our coming here is not by accident. So seek and seek we must. We have to go through our lessons. We have to be happy learners. But we are choosing nothing as a substitute for everything. And it's these experiences that each of us, I think most everybody on the call has shared at some point or another, these experiences that we have that slowly open our hearts and our minds and our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to everything, you know, remembering, recognizing that we want everything, that this is actually nothing here. Again, we don't know that, but that's what our learning is set up to teach us.
Melissa, Tracy, Mike, I love seeing your cat every week.
I just heard you, Pat. Tracy and Mike, we love your cat every week. Was your cat just with you? I just, yeah, there's your kitty. I see. That was sweet. Thank you for that. Any comments or questions or insights so far about anything that we've read? Oh, I have other things I want to share just about this paragraph. I don't see any hands at the moment. God's teachers can have no regret in giving up the pleasures of the world. Is it a sacrifice to give up pain? This one sentence, it's sentence number four. Does one whose vision has already glimpsed the face of Christ look back on longing with a slaughterhouse? I feel like Muji, I don't remember who, I thought it was Muji, but here the course is saying it too. This world is a slaughterhouse. And yeah, that might sound backwards for me to say that that's comforting to me sometimes, but when I'm seeing the horrors of the world, when I'm seeing, you know, things with animals, which have been, you know, one of my biggest hooks, my biggest triggers, reminding myself that this world is set up to keep us mesmerized by the form, so we won't look beyond it, so we won't see what is beyond it. That's how that statement is comforting to me. But recognizing that slaughterhouse of a world is coming from my mind, and if I'm seeing an outward picturing that's ugly, it's coming from an inward state. And so rather than just, you know, me reminding myself of, oh, you know, it's all a dream, this is something that we are experientially coming to know. And we can help everything and everyone by being willing to look at our ancient hate in the mind, our judgments, our fears, getting super, super crystal clear with Holy Spirit about what is happening in here, because that is contributing to what is out there. Dave.
There's a line in the course somewhere that I read recently that kind of hit me like a brick. And it is, let's see, the world you see is literally composed of everything that you don't want, because we're projecting that. Mm-hmm. We only project what we want to get rid of in our minds. And so I thought to myself, great, we've got 8 billion people doing that, or 7 billion, whatever. It's no wonder this place is a little bit whacked out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Dave, you read that recently? You found it?
Yeah, I may not have the words exact, but it'll be close to that, something like that. Yeah.
I'll see if I can find it if I search, but if you happen to come across the reference again, let me know, because that's a good one. It's literally, the world is literally composed of everything that you do not want. Wow. You know, I'm going to share a quick, I'm sorry, Dave, did you have anything else to add?
No. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I was sharing recently, just before this call, I mentioned ancient hatred, and there's a challenging relationship that I've had in my life where I could say there is an ancient hatred there. And I've been aware of it for some time, but really aware of it very, very recently. And the challenges of this relationship, thinking of this statement that Dave just shared, this teaching from the course that, you know, the outward world is literally composed of everything you do not want. I could see some of that reflected to me in this really challenging relationship. And I just feel prompted to just share this in case it's helpful for anybody who's dealing with a challenging relationship in some form. I recognized when that hatred was feeling so close to the surface, because there was such difficult conflict and pain and feelings of feeling attacked. And I'm sure, you know, the other person feeling that way too. When I felt like I could not love them because of the hatred, the anger, the judgment that I was feeling in my mind, the practice that I started doing, my picture of Jesus. This is actually a picture from the Shroud of Turin that they had a TV program on years and years ago. And this is like what they digitally reconstructed. I literally said to Jesus, I am leaning on you to love this person because I can't. I feel so blocked. I feel so many like layers of blocks in my heart. You love them like God loves them for me. Remember for me, remember all those for me quotes. I can't, Corinne can't do it. I wish I could, but I can't, but I can lean on you. I can lean on Jesus, and Jesus is going to love that person like God loves them. No problem. So in my leaning on Jesus and Jesus loving that person for me, when I tell you that the breakthrough that we had together for the first time in our lives, authentic communication, I experienced, I remember texting a friend sobbing and saying, I am right now living that teaching of the course that one of the holiest spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. And it was through letting Jesus love that person for me. So, and the heart blocks are gone. And now I feel that love for that person. And, although I still think have a bumpy road ahead of us, we're, you know, there's a lot of healing that's happening, and it's quite beautiful. So all that just came out because of Dave, you shared that quote. So thank you for letting me share that. It's been big. Shall we keep reading? Next paragraph? Let's do it. Okay. I think are we on paragraph 5? I think that's the one we're on. Okay, thank you. What is the real meaning of sacrifice? It is the cost of believing in illusions. It is the price that must be paid for the denial of truth. There is no pleasure of the world that does not demand this. For otherwise, the pleasure would be seen as pain. And no one asks for pain if he recognizes it. It is the idea of sacrifice that makes him blind. He does not see what he is asking for. And so he seeks it in a thousand ways and in a thousand places, each time believing it is there and each time disappointed in the end. Seek but do not find remains this world's stern decree. And no one who pursues the world's goals can do otherwise. It makes me think about those teachings in the course that, you know, when you seek for making the body better, trinkets placed on it, like you're calling forth death. And what this is essentially saying is that, you know, when we're pursuing things of the world, because we think those things will complete us, make us happy, help us find peace, because they're not of God, it's calling forth separation. It's a choice for separation instead of for God. And it's, again, it's God that we are all searching for, but it's going to be through the form and through our lessons that we come to wholly and truly and authentically remember that it's not by bypassing. It's not just by, you know, forcing ourselves to not seek or not pursue something of the world because the course says we shouldn't. It's going to be through an experiential learning that we come to know the truth of what this is saying. So I'm saying this to drop any guilt. If we are in a situation right now where we are pursuing something of the world, having guilt is not going to help anything. We must be happy learners, and we need not feel guilty for that. We can be talking to the Holy Spirit the whole time, because again, this course is not about increasing guilt. It's about its undoing. Any comments or questions? Anything coming up for anyone? Let's read paragraph number 6. You may believe this course requires sacrifice of all you really hold dear. In one sense, that is true, for you hold dear the things that crucify God's Son, and it is the course's aim to set him free. But do not be mistaken about what sacrifice means. It always means the giving up of what you want. And what, O teacher of God, is it that you want? You have been called by God, and you have answered. Would you now sacrifice that call? Few have heard it as yet, and they can but turn to you. There is no other hope in all the world that they can trust. There is no other voice in all the world that echoes God's. If you would sacrifice the truth, they stay in hell. And if they stay, you will remain with them. Let's pause here. Sacrifice is always the giving up of what you want. So we can think that, like, okay, we can't really sacrifice God. We can't do that. That's impossible. We can seemingly think that we can, though, by having turned away from God and be, you know, mesmerized by this dream instead. And while we desire this dream, it's going to feel like we're being asked to give something up to instead turn to God, but that's not the case at all. It's just, this is so powerful. And what, O teacher of God, is it that you want? So do we want separation? Do we want the body? Or do we want to know the truth? This is where it really gets me. Few have heard it as yet, and they can but turn to you. There is no other hope in all the world that they can trust. That's saying that you, Jesus, needs your voice. Jesus needs your hands, your feet, your eyes, those that are in your circle, in your world, in whatever way, whether it's close in your life or maybe a little bit more distant, or those that you just bump into if you go out for a walk, maybe even in some ways, those that you just pass by on the highway. There's no mistakes that you are coming into contact with those that you would meet. And this is saying that they can but turn to you. It's your smile that can send a miracle burst, a burst of love through that other person. It says there's no other hope in all the world that they can trust. There's no other voice in all the world that echoes God's. It's your voice. It's your love. It's your smile. It's your laughter that touches the hearts of all those that you come in contact with. And this is just such a beautiful description of how we are all miracle workers. So if we sacrifice the truth, they stay in hell. And if they stay, you remain with them. So we slip into hell all the time, right? When we're slipping into our judgments, our fears, our biases. And again, we know what to do with those. We're radically honest about them. We see them and we bring them to Holy Spirit. You know, I just want to throw out there one other thing. I've been working with my mom. We've been doing some healing meditations together. And we've been doing this really powerful visualization of, and it's, you can do this with any relationship in your life in which you are struggling. First, imagine that you grab Jesus's hand on one side, and this can be done when you're meditating with your eyes closed. I was actually grabbing, I was laying in bed when we were doing this. So I actually like grabbed part of my blanket to like, you know, feel my hand holding something, imagining that I'm holding Jesus's hand. And then whoever it is that you're struggling with, or whatever person it is in your life that you want to do this with, imagining that they're holding Jesus's other hand. And then in the next part, you join hands with that other person. So it's like the three of you, it's you and Jesus and the other person. And then we were imagining zipping out of our body suits and what, you know, that were these, as the course says, you're a perfect shaft of pure light, standing in that. And my mom said something funny today. She's like, yeah. And there's just like a pile, it's mostly water, but it's water and dust. Like when you zip off your bodysuit. So imagining that you and that other person and Jesus, you're that, those perfect shafts of pure light. And this to me was an actual experiential practice of not sacrificing the truth, not staying in hell together, that even if you're in a relationship that feels irreconcilable in some ways, that this is something on a deeper level that you can do to practice healing. So I just wanted to offer that too. Questions or comments? Did I hear somebody? Steve.
Hi.
Hi.
What a beautiful visualization for, you know, that I've heard this in the rooms, you know, the 12-step rooms, that if you got resentments, you pray for that person for 2 weeks and it goes away, right? And I just looked at that as just a beautiful prayer, you know, to be able to take somebody that, you know, I have totally embraced in resentment for years and years and years, and to be able to stand hand in hand with Jesus and visualize them for the beautiful being that they are and how equal we all are. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, what better prayer could that be without even saying any words, you know,
right?
just visualizing that.
And it's like a Holy Trinity, like the three of you.
Exactly.
You know,
that
together.
Popped in my mind too. Obviously, yeah. You know, all things in three are perfect, right?
So, oh,
thank
awesome.
You for that. That was awesome. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
That's going in the database.
Yay. Yes. Yes. Keep that one.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was really powerful this morning to do that with her. Let's read another paragraph. Oh, John, were you going to share? Did you come off mute?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Go for it.
That just reminded me of meditation I had one time and with Robert, and I don't remember what it was for and stuff, but I was really concentrating on my bride, Jacqueline, and I saw myself on the beach with Jesus, and I was holding his hand, and she was in the distance, and he invited her to come join us and said, come on home. And then she held his other hand, and then he placed our hands together. And that was such a powerful, visualization that just came into my mind. It was really beautiful. And it's exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, wow. That's Thank awesome, you. John. Cool. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, Paula, Lucy's very interested in A Course in Miracles. I love it. Oh, you're Kitty. I see her right there. That's awesome.
Oh, she's really interested in my hearing buds here. She wants to eat them.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Thank you.
Let's read the next paragraph. Ooh, Dave, you found the quote. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Two more paragraphs to go. Do not forget that sacrifice is total. There are no half sacrifices. You cannot give up heaven partially. You cannot be a little bit in hell. The word of God has no exceptions. It is this that makes it holy and beyond the world. It is its holiness that points to God. It is its holiness that makes you safe. It is denied if you attack any brother for anything. For it is here the split with God occurs. A split that is impossible. A split that cannot happen. Yet a split in which you surely will believe because you have set up a situation that is impossible. And in this situation, the impossible can seem to happen. It seems to happen at the sacrifice of truth. Teacher of God, do not forget the meaning of sacrifice. And remember what each decision you make must mean in terms of cost. Decide for God, and everything is given you at no cost at all. Decide against him, and you choose nothing at the expense of the awareness of everything. What would you teach? Remember only what you would learn, for it is here that your concern should be. Atonement is for you. Your learning claims it, and your learning gives it. The world contains it not. But learn this course and it is yours. God holds out his word to you, for he has need of teachers. What other way is there to save his son? I felt moved to just finish that out with both of those paragraphs. So actually what we just read in the second paragraph reminds me of what Cheryl shared earlier about deciding for God. So she said surrendering and following God. and everything is given you at no cost at all, versus when we decide against him and you choose nothing at the expense of the awareness of everything. Notice it says it's not, it says you choose nothing at the expense of the awareness of everything. It doesn't say you choose nothing at the expense of everything. It's the awareness of everything. Everything is still there for you always and forever. It's the awareness of it that we lose. So that's a really important point. I also just love how it said in the second paragraph too, atonement is for you. Your learning claims it and your learning gives it. Notice right there, it's talking about our learning. It's not just like, you know, you better accept the atonement right now and just get this in this moment, or nor is it saying like, just intellectually repeat these words. It's saying your learning, your journey, your curriculum claims the atonement for you. We are learning how to do this, and your learning gives it, gives the atonement. It gives forgiveness. We learn how to give and how to receive through our curriculum, through our learning. And I think that's all I have to say. Anybody have anything to add? Any insights, comments, questions? You know, since a number of us are here, this is probably a good moment to just decide, how about next week we plan on doing a sharing session where we won't read. I love, it's hard for me to wait because I love the next section on how will the world end. But that's okay. It's not hard for me to wait at all, because I think it's super exciting and it'll be really awesome to hear from everybody. But what we can do next week, we won't read, but we'll just have an open discussion and, you know, share experiences. I won't broadcast onto Facebook, just for, you know, if anybody just would be more inclined to share without that. I'll have to feel into whether or not to record the call for those who tune in, you know, through the audio recordings on my website. We do have an extended family that listens. Maybe we can even just decide that at the beginning together next week. So how about we plan on that? Next week we'll do a sharing session. So cool. That feels good. We'll pick up with our reading the following week then. Thumbs up from Steve. Excellent. I forget about those little emojis. I'm seeing a bunch of thumbs up. Steve, did you want to add something? No, are you just clapping? You're just clapping. And okay.
I'm tripping all over this little reaction button. I don't know what to do with it all. Anyway.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Very good. Thank you, Cheryl, for the suggestion too. It's going to be fun. Any comments or final insights or questions for anyone?
Corinne?
Yes.
I really liked the footnote number 102 on this section. Uh-huh. Because this is the second of the two illusions referred to in the first paragraph, C115. The first illusion is that it is a sacrifice to give up the things of this world. The second illusion, the real meaning of sacrifice, is that it is a sacrifice to pursue the things of this world, for it means giving up what is truly valuable. Once this is understood, both illusions can disappear, to be replaced by the eternal truth that sacrifice is altogether meaningless, since the eternally whole cannot suffer loss.
Mm. Thank you for reading that, Andrea. That is helpful. That is very helpful. Cool. Did you have anything else you wanted to add about that? No, thank you for reading it for us. Beautiful. Christine.
Yeah, I enjoyed your podcast, the Divine Mother one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, thank you.
But I also wanted to find, I think last week you talked about the death one with nukes
Nook Vanchez, yes.
How do I?
Good question. Do you want the link?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so I will put it in the chat. And for anybody listening, I'm just making sure I have it correct before I say this. Okay, I'm putting the link in the chat for those of us on Zoom. And for anybody listening, it is fromanxietytolove.com/29. That's the short link to get to the page on my website with that recording. So yes, that was the podcast with Kieran J. Gardner and Nook Sanchez, which was that contemplation on the idea that the body can leave through light instead of through death. Thank you, Christine. Michelle.
I was just reminded of a book. I read it years and years ago as well. It's called Mutant Message.
I love that book. Oh, please keep talking.
Okay, so it's about this woman, and I don't want to give it things away, but it's about this woman who takes a very unexpected journey in the outback of Australia with a tribe, and I think that they're called the Invisible People. But in any case, it's a really good book to read because they're very enlightened people and talking about surrender and that all your needs are met. And then it also, when it comes time for them to make their transition, it's a choice. They make the choice and no one's upset because they're so enlightened. But the things that this lady goes through in the outback of Australia with these people is really amazing. It's a really good read if anyone's interested.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Michelle.
That
was one of the mutant message.
Mutant messages. Okay.
I'll put it in the chat here. What was her name?
I think it's Marlo Morgan.
Yes. I was thinking Morgan. I wasn't sure what her first name was. Yes.
Yeah. That was one of my first spiritual books, like one of the very early ones. Not the first, but one of the very early ones that I read.
One of the early ones. Yes. Yeah. For me too, as well.
So good. Yes. So good. Yeah. Thank you for that, Michelle. Awesome. Oh, thank you, Andrea. We'll miss you next week. So yes, just again, next week we'll be here and won't be reading, but we'll just be sharing, have a little fun sharing session. And thank you all again for your presence and your insights. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all again next week and to hearing your shares. So thank you, everyone. I love you all. Have a good night. Hearts. Thanks, Michelle.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.